Support for the Media Project comes from the College of St. Rose, Albany, New York, offering a Master of Arts in Communications to advance careers in media, PR, and journalism. Fuller part-time options, 518-454-5143. And Rosenbaum Media Group, a digital communications agency integrating high-definition video into PR, marketing, advertising, and social media campaigns. Big-picture thinking for local and national clients. RosenbaumMedia.com. From Northeast Public Radio, this is The Media Project, a weekly discussion about issues confronting the media.
Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score. Killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They wallow in corruption, crime, and gore. Ting-a-ling-ling, city desk. Pull the press, extra, extra, read all about it. It's a mess, meets the test. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. It's wonderful to represent the press.
Well, this is The Media Project, and you have an opportunity here for a half hour of commentary, a controversy perhaps, and maybe even a little bit of insight into the media issues of the week. I'm Rex Smith, editor of the Times Union. Sitting next to me here is Judy Patrick, editor of the Gazette of Schenectady. Howdy.
Good day to you, Rex.
Good day indeed.
What a lovely lady she is.
She's
so understated.
Dr. Alan Shartok, the CEO of Northeast Public Radio, who is playing nice for the moment.
So I'm here. If you talk to an academic or a doctor these days, every sentence begins with so.
Yes.
It's the new thing.
Actually, I heard it said that liberals begin their sentences with so, conservatives begin them with look.
I like it.
This is, yeah. You think about that like little thing. It used to be,
I had,
of course,
an aunt who used to say, look at dearie.
Look at dearie.
L-O-G-I-T. Look at dearie.
Look at dearie. Of course, it used to be well in the Reagan era.
Well,
that was
really
the era of well. Yes.
We still have some wellers around.
Yeah, a lot of wellers. Anyway, we are on to media issues of the week. Media, I say, not meaty. Media, perhaps meaty issues.
Sure, no vegetarians here.
Notably, we should point out that the newspaper based in White Plains, the Journal News, which serves Westchester and Rockland counties and a bit of Putnam, has stationed armed guards as a result of threats, nationwide anger after they published the names and addresses of handgun permit owners in two of their three counties.
So, I get it. I think it was an incredible. I read your column on this, by the way, Rex.
Oh, Alan, thank you.
Yes, it was very, very good until we came to the end where you sort of finked out a little bit. But but it was a very good and strong column, and in which you, just in case anybody else missed it, you made the point that this was quite a thing, and at the end you said, but the important thing is to put it in context. In other words, just don't publish the names. Say why you're publishing the names and what you're intending to do with that. And so you did, Rex, and that's, I guess, the starting point for the discussion.
Yeah, this story certainly has had legs, as we say in the business. It's hung around for quite a while. And I'm amazed at the outpouring of comments on both sides, especially the pro-gun people are really mad at this newspaper for publishing this database. We do databases all the time, and they've done databases similar to this.
They've done this one, yes. Back in 2006, the Journal News published a handgun database.
300 million guns in the United States.
Right.
If everybody wrote a letter to the newspaper. But they're also saying, let's boycott all the advertisers who advertise in the paper. And that gets to be very serious. So I've got to really hand it to the folks down there that they're sticking to their guns and they're putting armed guards. There's a certain irony in that, isn't there?
You know, the bottom line is this information is public information. And when they passed the state law establishing this, they said it's going to be open to the public. You know, I went back to the early 80s decision in the New York, the Wall Street Journal, which the Court of Appeals said this is public information. And they dealt with some of these same issues that are being raised now, that whether or not the public's right to know or getting this information out in the public is important. And because gun control is such an important public issue, the more information that people have about it, the better. Last week, we talked a little bit about that map with all the dots. And when you look at it, you realize, wow, there are a lot of people with these permits. I had no idea. I'd be interested actually to see the whole state and to see how many dots there are.
Just for the sake of information, do you or don't you have a gun yourself, Judy?
I do not have a gun myself. Don't. I maybe have a
Knife?
Knives in my kitchen. I think we laugh because my husband has a golf club in the corner of the bedroom.
Yeah. For that reason, in case somebody comes in?
We think it's a man thing. They have a bat or a golf club or something.
I think Mario Cuomo has a baseball bat.
Yeah, well, that's a relic, I'm sure, of his noted baseball career, about which we've heard many stories.
Yes, we have.
I've got a big dog myself. You know, which is...
We'll hide under the bed like Asta used to in The Thin Man.
I used to host the most boring half hour on television. I had a show on Long Island on cable TV when I was at Newsday.
Yeah,
and it was
I didn't know that.
A lifestyle show that was just a terrible TV show because we had no budget for video. And so I would just be sitting in a studio interviewing reporters about stories they had done. So there were no visuals. It was just two people talking about their stories. So anyway, one time I was interviewing a homes writer who had written about security systems for homes. Automatic lights, motion detector lights, that is, and burglar alarms, all this stuff.
I have it all.
And I said at the end of it, so Lou, what do you have for your own home? Give me your personal formula. He said, oh, I don't have any of that stuff. I got a big dog. Yeah, he says, that's the best burglar alarm you can have. Now, of course, Alan, you have Murray.
I have Murray. And Murray is, if you look in the books about Westies, here's what they say. Westies are great watchdogs and lousy guard dogs.
I get it. Absolutely.
You know, so but back in the early 80s when they made this first decision, this was before we could put these databases.
Right.
This is just a reporter going in to look.
Sure.
So this brings a whole new realm to it. But the bottom line is this is available, and this newspaper decided to publish it and is continuing to try to get Putnam County. Hasn't been able to
do that
one yet.
Of the demagogues down there, a guy by the name of Ball,
State Senator Ball,
stood up and he called the newspaper all kinds of bad names.
Asinine editors, he said.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
is actually wants to propose legislation to prohibit newspapers from doing this?
Yes. Well, that's not going to happen.
Well, it certainly isn't. I mean, and the Putnam County clerk in resisting the release of this is, I can say without fear of legal contradiction, is clearly in violation of state law. There is no excuse for blatantly disregarding the Freedom of Information Law, which Senator Ball celebrates. I think it's great that the Putnam County clerk isn't doing this. I don't know when it happened that a state senator decided that he could interpret which laws people should obey and which ones they shouldn't. The Freedom of Information Law must be obeyed, which requires the release of this stuff.
Rexy, very well said. And what's going to happen is they will lose on this. This will go to a court. The court will say, in the meantime, the guy will get himself a lot of votes. Both of them will get themselves a lot of votes. And they don't give a damn about whether or not, you know, it's against the law as long as they can attract the right kinds of people to their cause.
I would point out that the newspaper, in seeking this in court, has the right to seek repayment for its legal fees in this flagrant violation of the Freedom of Information Law. And the county taxpayers in Putnam County will be on the hook for defending this violation of the Freedom of Information Law.
Right. You make a very good point.
And in the meantime, the information isn't going to get out to the public.
Well, that's true.
We'd have to wait a year or so before we find out who has permits in Putnam County.
Well, can't they get an expedited hearing before court?
Well, I don't think so. Probably it'll take a long time. I think Judy's right. It'll take a year and it'll be... But it's an interesting debate, notwithstanding this. One of our listeners wrote in with a critique of the idea. He said, spin it however you want. This is Scott in Ballston Spa. But the interactive map is an underhanded stunt. They have an agenda. Imagine if I were to put out a map of people who don't own guns. Would I be putting a target on each one of them?
That was quite a letter. Went
all
on,
the list
on,
that
on.
Could be published, identifying some sector of society, religion, political affiliation, drivers of gas guzzlers, people who have purchased liberal media publications, contributors to liberal radio stations, etc. So there's all kinds of information that can be misused, he said. Well, you know what? There is a lot of information out there.
Right, and we publish databases all the time, and newspapers make a decision on what is valuable, what's important, what the public wants to know, and and always they publish a story that accompanies it, that gives it context.
That's a very strong opinion on your part, Judy.
Well, thank you.
And I'm really glad you have that golf club in your bedroom.
Now, here's a media person who has another point of view, Al Tompkins, who is at the Pointer Institute down in Florida, used to be
now,
a TV news director.
In, haven't you lectured there and gone there?
I have been an ethics fellow at
That's
Pointer.
What I thought,
so,
you know.
Yes, it's a lovely place.
Yeah.
Very nice, although...
And run by a bunch of sisters.
Yeah. Pointer Sisters. Sorry. Oh, dear. Al Tompkins of the Pointer says, just because information is public does not make it newsworthy. People own guns for a wide range of law-abiding reasons. If you are not breaking the law, there's no compelling reason to publish the data. This is a journalist.
What do you mean if they're not breaking the law? You mean the only time you can publish anything is when somebody's breaking the law? It's absurd.
It's a great point.
Interesting.
Whose point?
Your point.
Oh, thank you, Judy. I'll get myself a golf cart.
You know, this is expensive, by the way, this kind of programming to make this happen. This is why we haven't done this very thing that the Journal News did. This takes a lot of programming
to overlay this data
on a map.
Help me with this. It's very courageous. They've taken on the possibility of a boycott, right? They've taken on the possibility of having to pay guards, you know, armed guards to do this. They've taken a lot of criticism. I'm sure people, short term anyway, have canceled subscriptions. So as an editor, as both of you as editors, maybe you could tell me whether or not there's any plus for them in doing this.
I think that the public benefit of making information available to your community is what you see is your responsibility, right? Wouldn't you say,
Jane? Right, and it furthers the debate. It actually has accelerated the debate down there. I'm sure that that's being talked about in every diner and restaurant in town.
And everybody across this entire country and probably the world is talking about this one newspaper. So from that point of view, I wouldn't be surprised if they got some kind of prize.
And they're getting tons of hits on their website, too.
How many?
Tons,
yeah.
Thousands, millions.
I'm sure it has made a lot of, that's probably true. Yeah, probably. I mean, eyeballs alone don't generate revenue. They do to a certain extent, but
when you're selling ads on that page, and you can say, we've had, a million just yesterday.
Yeah.
That might help.
Yep. An extra million would be good.
But if you were the publisher, would you be tearing your hair out in any way?
I think if I were the publisher, I'd be quite concerned about it. Although I'm sure that the editor didn't do this without consulting with her publisher.
Yeah. They might be guilty, as Pete says in the song, of prostitution.
Sounds to me like it would be the other way around. Pete was denigrating publishers, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, this would be a pretty brave publisher who would do this. This is a Gannett newspaper, by the way, and the Gannett has a real focus on databases as a part of their mission. They do a lot of this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Which is my point about how this is expensive. They apparently have someone dedicated to doing this kind of work. We did a tax map of the state of New York showing property taxes throughout the state, a database, I'm sorry, of property taxes. But the only way we could do it was we had a graduate student on a grant who affiliated himself with our newsroom, God bless him, and brought his grant with him and was able to put up this data for us and present this. This was about 3 years ago we did this so that it was during the huge debate over before the property tax cap was implemented, and it really, I think, helped people to see some of the inequities in the application of property taxes around New York.
But are either of you, this is the academic stutter, I'm sorry about that, but have either of you decided to become what my then three-year-old daughter used to call copycatters? she's now, in her 30s, but is this something that other newspapers might now say, you know what, we'll have a piece of that?
I have. At the Gazette in Schenectady, I got a ton of other issues that are above that. I have, high foreclosures. I have I have gun violence. I'd love to have a database of everybody who's been shot in the city or where it happened. There are other things higher on my list.
Okay. All right.
Okay. I mean, I would consider it if there were... If it didn't take so much money, frankly. I mean,
How much money? what are we talking about here? We're talking about, $5,000? We're talking about $100,000? What?
No, you probably would end up spending on an annual basis. You probably end up, once you build the database and put it in there, you have a maintenance also of the database. And so that's about $300 a month on top of the probably $10,000 to build it. And I don't know how much time it takes to actually make it happen. So it's expensive, yeah. But, even once you do that, you have to put it in context. Once you have the legal handgun owners, that's a very small share of the weapons that are really at issue in this country. If you want to talk about the 300 million guns, a lot of them are not. This does not have anything to do with long guns, shotguns and rifles and so on. We have no record of that because by law, we're not allowed to see that stuff. Why is that? Why can't we see those records? Yeah. But I tell you, this assault by Senator Ball and the Putnam County clerk make you feel like you want to stand shoulder to shoulder with the Journal News. It would be kind of cool if every newspaper in the state decided to, the kids at the end of the movie. What was the movie about the gay teacher who the kids at graduation suddenly started all standing up and saying, "Hey, I'm gay, I'm gay, I'm gay." Were of a piece with them. It makes you feel like you want to do that. We've had a lot of, by the way, speaking of camaraderie, there's been an element of pulling together to help the journalists of Connecticut in covering this. You know, those are sister papers of ours in Hearst in Fairfield County. And so we've had people who've gone over there, and people from all over the country came in to provide basically respite journalism to let the journalists of the newspapers there.
I think you may have mentioned that.
Oh, did I?
Show.
I'm sorry.
That's
I'm
okay, Rex. It's all right. I think it's well worth saying a second, third time.
There is nevertheless in that community a lot of people who are pretty tired of having so many journalists around there asking so many questions. And so I think the people of Newtown are very glad to see a bit of normalcy returning and having the journalists leave town.
I have a cousin who was a psychiatrist. I don't know if he's gone now or not. And he wrote a book called The Road to Normalcy. You could look it up. Dr. Hyman Shartok, The Road to Normalcy.
Kidding.
It's probably out of print by about 1,000 years. But since you mentioned normalcy, I thought I'd...
Wasn't that a Calvin Coolidge term? Didn't
normalcy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, normalcy.
Create the word. And this is your great uncle, you say?
No, he was a cousin, like a second cousin to my father. I don't know what that makes him to me. But when I learned to read, this is a true story. We didn't have a lot of books in the house, but my parents had this book, The Road to Normalcy, and I would go and I'd say to my mother, "What's this thing saying? The Road to Normalcy, dear?" And I sort of stuck in my head, right?
Right.
Well, about 40 years later, I get this telephone call sitting at my desk. The guy has a little problem, and he's saying one of his patients said, "Is Alan Shartok on the radio a relative?" He called me up, and he said, "Hi, this is Dr. Hyman Shartok." And I said, without missing a beat, "The Road to Normalcy." I thought he was going to fall down.
So as a child, instead of picture books, you were reading The Road to Normalcy.
I was reading the title. The Road to Normalcy. I never quite got there. I never quite got there.
Oh, well, you do what you can. We have
people like this show, you know.
People like this show?
Yeah, yeah.
I can't imagine.
No, they do.
There's a chance for journalistic redemption, say the editors of one of our trade publications, Editor and Publisher Magazine. They are upset with the way that the media have covered Obamacare up till now. So it's with the reelection of the president, you know, it's going to happen. And it is really going to be the law. There's not going to be, since the House of Representatives voted 33 times to remove Obamacare, this apparently is over with the reelection of Barack Obama. And the editors of Editor and Publisher are saying, boy, it's time for journalism to do it right now because the media covered the law's long, slow passage like a sporting event, it says, without much explanation of how it would shape people's lives.
I think it's a great point. And if you go out anywhere, go on Fifth Avenue in New York City or, you know, in Schenectady where, you know, you work every day, Judy, and ask the first 100 people who pass, what is an exchange as part of Obamacare? They're not going to know. Then ask them a second question just to set your level correctly. The second question is, who's vice president of the United States? They won't know that either.
And it's a good point to get into these issues, but I think the mainstream press, especially magazines and newspapers, did do a good job the first time around. The point is people have to read them, or point is we have to write the stories so people will read them and get into the intricacies of this law.
I like that. I think you're right, Judy. It seems to me that the criticism is a bit misplaced. I mean, we had a lot of coverage of saying what health exchanges are. But boy, it's hard to, even as an editor, to discipline yourself to read these stories that you're publishing because people are interested in the politics of it.
Or what Mr. Blackwell's latest worst, Roger Stone actually has taken up the tradition. And a lot more people are going to read who were the best and worst dressed people in America rather than figure out health insurance issues that are so important like this one.
Why do the media, though, pick up Roger Stone commentary?
Because they know fools will read it.
Yeah.
Like me.
Yeah. People pay attention. I mean, that's the problem. What gets our attention gets us. And so we tend to follow it.
And it's easy. As opposed to these complicated issues.
Well, in the aftermath of the passage of the fiscal cliff legislation, let's say, a few days ago, immediately there is political analysis as opposed to the actual dollar analysis.
Sure.
How much people are going to be paying and what the actual effect is on people.
Well, that's right. And I've been talking about it here. here at public radio for quite a while now since this has happened, and we still don't really have all the answers as to what this is going to cost everybody, whether it's part of your pay package. But that is so important, Rex, because that really does get right to people and they want to know. So it took me a little while to figure out if you make $450,000, I don't, you do, Rex, but I don't.
Yeah,
and,
sorry.
and or your family does. And then
if
then,
only
then what happens is you pay more. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But if you make $300,000, then something else kicks in. Can you tell me what that is?
And if you make $25,000 a year, something else kicks in. And that's really one of the issues
exactly.
we want as a newspaper to really get at. And people will find out this week and next week
as much, they get their
how
pay
much less
stubs.
Money they have. Yeah,
yeah.
Absolutely.
$20, $30 a week. It matters to a lot of people.
Absolutely. It's going to make a difference. And so people will begin to say, well, gee, why is my paycheck thinner? Well, they're going to blame their bosses. But actually, of course, it's this little discussed piece. I mean, we have stories that always mention this toward the end, that regardless of what they do with the fiscal cliff legislation, payroll taxes are going to go up because the payroll tax holiday that was a part of the Recovery Act is expiring. And, you know, people aren't paying attention to that. And suddenly, you know, your paycheck is $200 thinner. Big deal.
So as Rex Smith always says, it's a matter of balance. You got to give them the Mr. Blackwell, and next to it, hopefully, you can give them some information that might really change the quality of their lives or that they might need.
And the easy way to do it is with an anecdote, but sometimes those things get too puffy, and the anecdote will make people read the story, but you got to get them all the way through it so they know all the details of how it affects them.
And after the anecdote, you're going to need an antidote.
I know.
Oh, my God. Mabel, isn't Mabel your character, Rex? You always say
no,
Mabel.
No, Golly Martha.
Martha.
We
Martha.
Like to have
Martha.
A story every day that's called Golly Martha.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Golly Martha.
That's a nice
Look
thing.
At what they wrote.
Yeah, these things happen. By the way, speaking of errors, there's a poor German newspaper which mistakenly bumped off George H.W. Bush.
I saw that. Yeah.
It's tragic news. Der Spiegel. Apparently, they misunderstood a Bush family spokesperson.
Yeah.
And when they said that the former president Bush had been moved out of intensive care, they thought that meant he had been removed from care.
He got a heavenly discharge.
Yeah.
But he didn't.
But what's bad is...
Wasn't he a pilot back in the big one?
He was.
Maybe that's at the bottom of it.
Now we know what the canned obit by Der Spiegel was.
Oh, yeah.
It referred to him as, quote, the better Bush.
Yeah.
And it called him a colorless politician whose White House tenure looked good only in comparison to that of his bumbling son. So we know what Der Spiegel is going to say when George H.W. Bush finally actually does expire, which time we do not look forward to.
No.
Finally, today, we want to take just a little swing at media for coverage of healthcare issues, because it's that time of year when a lot of newspapers have features about, you know, get yourself into fit shape. And we do this a lot at the Times Union.
And the New York Times comes along and ruins it for all of us.
Well, you know, it's hard to know what the right thing to do
right?
Because it changes constantly.
For those who don't know, the Times has now come out with a story based on evidence, clinical evidence and trials, that people who are a little fatter live longer than people who are a little thinner. Now, I've spent my entire life going on every known diet to man and woman. I have been on every diet you can name, and I have been pretty good about keeping my weight down, although I'm going through a little bit of a rough patch right now. And it turns out that there, all these people are going, ha-ha, you see, I told you, you're crazy, and I'm not happy about this.
I know that you like to do New Year predictions, Alan. I predict that story will be turned around before the year is out, that there will be another story that says, no, this study was flawed. And
remember all that stuff about apple-shaped and pear-shaped, and if your tummy is this and that, and that was statistically done also. So there is no justice. That's the conclusion I have.
And so there was great criticism of how the news media handles these studies and plays these studies. And the idea being you got to give them some, again, context. You got to make sure you're talking about it was a good study and it was appropriate.
Hey, Judy, I'm a little worried about you.
What?
Well, why don't you put a few pounds on?
You look like the wrong fruit there, Judy. A little bit too much banana. You know, it's all good. All right, folks, we're out of time here. We really love you for joining us this week on The Media Project.
We don't understand it, but we love you.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.
They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record. about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score, killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people. They know the lowdown, now it can be told. I'll tell you quite reliably off the record about some charming people I have known. For I meet politicians and grafters by the score, killers plain and fancy, it's really quite a bore. Oh, newspapermen meet such interesting people.